So the most requested topic for one of these things has been Niles's birth story. So we thought we would do that today.
Yeah.
Niles is sitting right here in my arms as we do this, so you hear some weird noises.
Or contributions to the story.
Yes, I'm sure he will contribute. That is him. He's being really cute.
He is.
Kind of wish it was a video so you could see him. We'll include a ton of pictures. But anyways, Niles's birth story. Hey friends, we are Michael and Laura, a husband and wife wedding and portrait photography team based in Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to our audio blog. Please comment and let us know what you think, and follow us on Instagram at Michael Laura Photography.
Good job, man.
Thanks.
So, the crazy thing is, I read like a ton of birth stories before Niles was born. I read like every blog I could put my hand on of. Did you hear that one? He's Googling. Anyways, I just was like craving to know and understand what the process was going to be of delivery and being at the hospital. And so I just read everything that I could. And I bought everything I could. Michael and our credit card bill and our Amazon account could testify to that.
That's true.
I so desperately wanted to have everything I needed and just be super prepared. And that was not what happened at all.
No.
So I'm just prefacing this by my story is very different, but I guess pretty much everybody's is. So,
Yeah.
okay.
Well, so I'm going to start us on the day. So on the day that we go to the hospital, we decide, and by we, I mean Laura, decide that it's a good idea to plan a whole bunch of meals
Well,
out.
so yeah, before that, we had a doctor's appointment that morning.
Oh yeah, we did. You're right. We had a doctor's appointment that morning.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it was just a checkup because it was the week of the delivery period. And when Laura went in for a checkup, she was barely on at all. And the doctor talked about us about trying to set a date to induce because she did not think that Niles would show up anytime soon.
Yeah, so
So.
his scheduled delivery date was November 29th, and my appointment was on the 27th. So we went in that morning, and she had just said, like, hey, I think we should set an induction date because it doesn't look like you're progressing at all. I would have expected you'd be somewhere by now, based on, everything. And so we set an induction for like 10 days from that.
I think it was December 10th,
Yeah, far away.
ninth.
And so Michael and I left the hospital that morning, the doctor's appointment, and we were just like, okay, so we have plenty of time.
Right.
Like, no need to rush.
Yeah. So we took out literally everything that we'd bought to make these meals and put it out on the countertop. And if you've seen pictures of our kitchen, if not, we'll include one. But we have a really big peninsula, and let me tell you, there was no space on that peninsula. You couldn't even put down like a cup.
You could not see
There
the
was,
counter.
yeah, there was so much stuff of all these meals, and we had like a list of things we were going to make. So we just decided to go ahead and start
Okay,
doing that.
again, I really wanted to be prepared, right? And so like I read all these blogs and about like what should you do to get yourself ready for a baby, and everything said make meals. So I took that to heart and I had like 10 meals that we were like literally.
Even though we had people who already said they wanted to bring us over meals.
Okay, wanted to be prepared.
That's
They
right.
said to make meals, so I was making meals, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to follow directions here. So we were in the middle, like literally in the middle of making meals. Things were in the oven, stuff was on the stovetop, and all the food was out on the counter. And I just started feeling really gross. I had like pretty bad cramps. But I had had an exam that morning, so I was like, well, this is pretty normal. So I called the nurse because as we were leaving the doctor that day, she said, like, if you don't call and you were worried about something and I hear that you didn't call, I'm going to be so upset. So I just had that playing in my head and I was like, all right, I guess I'll just call, even though I know that this is very normal.
And they did preface this that there's a 24-hour line, and that they were going to answer no matter what if you call this number.
And they didn't
And they didn't
answer.
answer. They
So
didn't answer.
Michael's livid.
Yeah.
I was like calming him down. I was like, it's not a big deal. I had an exam. It's normal to be cramping.
I didn't even care that she was, it was less the fact that she was uncomfortable. More the fact that they said that there's a 24-hour line and nobody answered.
Right. So I hang up and I'm still feeling kind of gross. So I call again and they don't answer again.
So we leave a voicemail.
At this 24-hour line. Yeah. So I left a voicemail and I looked at my phone. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like go upstairs and lay down. I really just don't feel good. And so he stayed downstairs for a minute because, again,
doing more cooking.
So much food was on the counter. And so he stayed downstairs. But then I think I, like, screamed for him to come up or something. And so he came upstairs. And we were just, like, laying in bed, just resting. And the nurse called me back. Mm-hmm. And from this, like, 24-hour will always answer line. And she said, yeah, absolutely. Cramping's totally normal after you have an exam. Wouldn't worry about it. If you feel like it's happening, like in intervals, like contractions might be, give us a call back. And so after that, Michael tried to like see if there was like a timing of like when it felt worse. And so right as he tries to start that,
They were inconsistent. It was like at least 10 minutes. You know, it seemed like it wasn't consistent. So it, you know, I timed it for a few times and she wasn't seeming like she was super uncomfortable yet. So we, you know, I waited another 20, 30 minutes and then did it again because it seemed like she was becoming more uncomfortable and more recent. So,
and that's in the whole midst of like calling the doctor too. So
right.
By this time in the story, it's maybe been like an hour, 2 hours
since I initially
started feeling like, I might feel a little gross.
Right. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon at this point. So I'm in between after I check in on Laura, going back downstairs to check on food and basically just pulling things out. And of course, we haven't packed anything yet because this morning, that same morning, the doctor said, yeah, it looks like nothing's happening. So I just decide that, hey, I've never done this before, so we should just start throwing stuff in a bag just in case. So,
I had said like a million times, okay, we need to pack for the hospital. I had, again, read every blog of every packing list. I had it written on my phone, like a little checklist created. I just hadn't actually put everything in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I had so many things that I had bought from Amazon that they said like, oh, you have to have this for postpartum. Oh, you're going to need this for the baby. You know, everything. And I think none of it made it in the bag.
We actually, I think, just found some things that were in the closet a few days ago that were supposed to go with us to the hospital for the birth.
Moral of the story is you don't need any of that stuff.
That's exactly right. So at this point, Laura's further along. I go back up and check up on her again. She seems like she's in more and more discomfort. So I start timing them again, and it's like 7 minutes. And then the next one's like 5 minutes. And the next one's like 3.5 minutes, and from almost like not really any pain to, hey, I can't stand this in like the space of, I don't know, half an hour?
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
So I was totally fine. I was just like a little uncomfortable to, I can't even breathe in like a half an hour.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So Michael was like, we need to go to the hospital. Let's go to the hospital. And so I
and they're
kept
like
telling
3 minutes at this point. They're 3 minutes or less.
But everyone I know has gone to the hospital and then has been sent back. Like, those aren't real contractions, or you're not even close to being, you know, dilated enough or whatever. So I was like super paranoid about getting to the doctor way too early and having to turn around and come home.
Yeah.
And so I finally got myself like through the pain downstairs, which took
another half hour
amount of time because it was pretty painful. But I looked in the kitchen and I was like, Michael, we can't leave. Like, our house was a disaster. And I was just like, I'm not starting motherhood with my kitchen looking
like
this.
I'm gonna see if we have a photo of the kitchen.
My sweet mama went over and cleaned up our kitchen. And while she is just the nicest human being ever for doing that, she's also the evilest because she took a video of what the kitchen
after
looked
she
like
already cleaned up for
halfway
an hour.
Through cleaning. Yeah. So, I mean, she was like, this is so ridiculous. I need documentation. So when we say it was crazy, like, it was a mess,
yeah.
A complete disaster. So Anyways, we got into the car finally, after Michael being like, dude, we have to go. And I was like, okay, yeah, I am in a ton of pain.
And in between these contractions, I'm throwing stuff in a bag because I don't know what we need or, you know, any of that because I didn't see the shopping list that Laura bought from Amazon.
And he keeps asking me questions, but
yeah, she's not focusing on it. She can't.
Yeah, my brain is just not working. So... we finally get into the car and I don't know if it's just because like I'm sitting up now or I'm like, all of a sudden I get more conscious about what's happening and I'm able to calm down a little bit. And, I could breathe again.
Yeah.
And so I looked at Michael and I was like, I think maybe that wasn't anything. And I was just, it was all in my head, basically.
We're 3/4 of the way to the hospital at this point.
And so I tell him, I was like, I don't, this isn't it. Like, we can turn around and go home.
And I said, no. I said, no. I said, we're almost there. We're just going anyways at this point.
He's like, we've it's committed. Worth just going. And so literally as we're finishing this conversation, we like pull up to the hospital and I open my door and I'm dead again, like just completely dead. So I like can't breathe. I can barely get out of the car. He like helps me in. Thank God Henrico doctor's office. I mean, probably everybody has like valet where you can just leave your car, abandon it. And so we walk to the nurse's counter, like in the mother's wing. And I literally lay my head on the counter because I just can't even stand up. And so the nurse like looks at me and she goes, so do you think you're in labor?
Right. And so So she asks for information. We obviously give it to her. And, she then asks, do you think, you know, how far along do you think you are? Do you think you're in labor? And at that point, Laura gets another contraction and has to just like her like body collapses kind of kneeling down on the floor. And she, the woman across the counter says, see, this girl's in labor. That girl over there, she's not in labor. So.
Which really validated us going to the hospital because I was so worried that they were going to send us away that I like literally in the car wanted to turn around and go home. So I was really relieved for like that second of in the midst of pain. Like, okay, it's good that we're here.
So we bumped her and went
we bumped
back.
Her.
They were apparently a lot of people were being born that day, so they quickly
the waiting
finished
room was
cleaning a room.
Full.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Finished cleaning a room and brought us back in 2 minutes. We were back there. And,
yeah, she was like, "Can you walk back? Do you need a wheelchair?" And I was like, "I think I can walk." And then I literally collapsed in this poor nurse's arm. Like she had to help me back into the room. We got into the room. I got onto the hospital bed, and my water broke immediately. Like the second I laid down in the bed. And so the nurse, comes around and checks me and she goes, oh yeah, you're 8 centimeters dilated. So,
and I don't think the nurse was ready for it. Cause she seemed like the initial nurse, you know, that's like checks you in and see how you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
She was real.
She started panicking immediately. She kind of, yeah.
She gets on her, all the nurses have like a little like headset, walkie talkie thingies, which is a good
walkie-talkies.
Idea.
Walkie talkies.
But so anyway, she gets on her little walkie-talkie because she was the only one in the room with us at that time. And she goes, okay, I need like a lot of people in here.
Yeah, I think she said a bunch of bodies is what she said. I'm pretty sure that's what she said.
And so within like a minute, just our room floods with people. Like we probably at one point had somewhere between like 5 and 10 people just all of a sudden in the room. Which was crazy. So it all started happening super fast.
Yeah. And then, so first things first, obviously, is that one of the big things that Laura did want to do is have an epidural because, well, I mean, she...
For obvious reasons.
Exactly. At this point, we know why, right? We've seen, or she's felt the pain. But so the doctors, when we first said that, the nurse said, yeah, we're not sure if we're actually going to be able to get it to
you. Well, yeah, we didn't even ask for it. She came up after she examined me and I was 8 centimeters and she said, she was like, were you hoping for an epidural?
That's right.
And Michael looks at her and he goes, oh no, she's getting an epidural, which I don't think I've ever loved him more in my life. And the nurse was like, yeah, okay, we'll try, but I can't promise anything. And so the anesthesiologist got there and she said that it was the fastest an anesthesiologist has
like
ever gotten into a room. So
10 minutes, the anesthesiologist was there and
he was so fast that he put the epidural in without the medication.
Yeah.
Because he was faster than the pharmacy. So that was crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so then I finally can breathe like a little bit after that kicks in. Still in a lot of pain, but it's, you know, getting a lot better. And so they come and they ask if we want to wait for our doctor. So it was like night. So the doctor's obviously not
like
there
8:30
anymore. And so we said, yeah, we want, you know, call her. And they come in a little later and they said, well, you're ready to push. So you can either have the baby in the next 15 minutes or you can wait for your doctor to get here, which I didn't even know was a thing. Like, you're ready to push, but you can just wait.
Yeah.
If you're a medical professional, please let me know how that's a thing. But mm-hmm. anyway, so Michael says, yeah, we want to wait for the doctor. I look at him like, what do we do? but he's like, yes, we want our doctor here. The epidural is going to start kicking in more. You know, you can do this. And so that entire process, we had probably only been in the hospital room for an hour.
Yeah, I think an hour and a half or so.
It was all very quick mm-hmm. between arriving there and her saying you could push right now and have the baby in 15 minutes. But so anyways, we decided to wait. It was probably a good idea because I loved that we had our doctor there. We love our doctor. Mm-hmm. And she arrived and they told me to start pushing. And within 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was four cycles. The fourth cycle.
Fourth
cycle.
Of pushing.
Popped out. it was not at all what I expected, you know, the whole process. But you know, I don't know. It was
even with waiting for the doctor, it was just all so fast. Like all these birth stories that I had read about first babies, like it was like, you have time, you know, like buy a cute gown to put on for delivery and, you know, have somebody braid your hair. And I'm just like, when is that happening?
That's
like,
right.
I just
should have asked the nurse. Hey, when does the hair braiding happen?
It was just all so fast. And so, he was delivered and they put him straight on me. So we had skin to skin immediately for almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
So just Niles and I.
Kudos, Henrico doctors. You guys are awesome. Minus the phone call thing. A pluses.
The 24-hour
line.
Yeah. But so we got to have that skin to skin for a long time. We didn't find out Niles's gender until right then. Mm-hmm. So they got to shout out it's a boy, which was awesome and so exciting. And then the nurse asked like immediately, like what's his name? And I was like, I just found out it was a boy. Like, hold on, you know, we didn't have like a final, like, you know, if it's a girl, we're going to name her this, or if it's a boy, we're going to name him that. And so the nurse, like, they were just giving us time, and which we really appreciated, mm-hmm. Of just soaking in our sweet little baby. And Michael came over and put his hand on Niles's back and said, well, what do you think, Niles? And I looked at him and I go, oh, okay. So we named him Niles. Like, when did that happen? But it just...
It's a good tip for any dads, soon-to-be dads. If you have a name you like and you guys didn't find the gender. Just go for it.
Just
jump in for it.
While mom's in the euphoria of a baby's on me. it worked. And, you know, we're just so happy that, you know, that's the perfect name. It didn't really matter. But... So anyways, we got to have that skin to skin for a really long time. And then after a while, Michael got to hold him too. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he got all of his weight and measurement and all of that. And so...
He was born at like 10:20 p.m. So total process for when Laura started having, where we think Laura started having contractions. You know, it was before she went up because she was a little uncomfortable. But when we actually started timing it, I think it was less than 6 hours from that start time to delivery of Niles. So,
yeah. So very quick.
Yes.
Which
is a great thing as well.
Huge
blessings for that. So,
yeah. So we,
so at this point it's like 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And, you know, they obviously need to get us to the next room because apparently there are a lot of babies being born. But so they moved us to the, I don't even know what they call
recovery
recovery room. And at 2:30 in the morning, after Laura's had a baby, and I felt like I'd just been running for the past, 12 hours of my life, they ask you all the questions, like, all the questions. As soon as you get to the recovery room, they ask you, like, it's just a long checklist of things. And
you're talking about the nurse that walked us back.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was so sweet.
She was amazing.
She just wanted to give us, like, all the information possible. And I'm like, I just had a baby. Michael's exhausted. Like, I'm holding my kid. Like, I was not listening to a word this poor lady was telling us. And she was just rattling off this information. She had, like, a binder of stuff she was reading to us. And so she leaves the room, and I look at Michael, and I was like, did you get any of that? And he's like, no. So thankfully, she came and, like, brought this big packet to us later that had all that information. But I have no idea how a mom would actually be listening to that. I don't know.
But again, she was an amazing nurse, because when things needed to happen,
Lucy, when
things needed to happen for Niles, she made sure they were on schedule. And
yes,
everyone else that was, like, supporting the team, the assistants,
all the nurses,
all the other nurses, she kept them in line.
They were great, but she meant business.
She did not.
If we needed something,
around.
We went to Lucy.
Yeah.
Except the fact that they told me that I couldn't pee. Is this too much information? Doesn't matter. They told me, they were like, when you have to pee, you have to call a nurse in, because we need to, like, escort you to the bathroom and, like, watch. And so I went to sleep, and then I, like, woke up, and I was like, okay, I have to pee. We, like, paged a nurse, paged the thing, and they didn't come in. And so I was just, like, sitting in bed, and I was like, I really have to pee. And so eventually I was like, okay, nobody's coming. Michael went out and tried to find somebody.
Mm.
And so he just, like, walked me to the bathroom and let me pee. So Lucy dropped the ball then.
Yeah.
But no other time.
That's right. And I think they came back later as well. I was like, hey, I think you guys, didn't you say you,
like,
need...
2 hours later.
No, it was longer. I think it was even longer.
She was like, do you need to pee? I was like, yeah, I get
not
that.
Anymore. Yeah,
I get that. sorry, that was probably...
Turns out you can do it by yourself. Just have someone next to you.
Someone escort you. Anyways, sorry for that. So we woke up that next morning. A lot throughout the night. The crazy thing about being in the hospital was that you were woken up so frequently, because people were coming in to check on the baby, and then people were coming in to check on me.
Yeah, like every 2 hours for the baby and every 4 hours for Laura, and then there's a shift change in there as well that doesn't match up with any of those times.
Right, and so they have
it's
to, like, brief, the new nurse on, the baby and on me. And so it was just, it was crazy. There were so many people in and out of our room. So it was just a lot.
Mm.
And then, obviously Niles is a newborn, so he's, up and crying, and it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I said I woke up, but really, I don't know that we slept that much.
Yeah. Well, I know that we decided against, the first night was 3 a.m. when we moved over, so it was already halfway through. So he stayed with us then, and then the following day we had family come in, and that was Thanksgiving. So we were supposed to eat Thanksgiving with them, all of them, both my side and Laura's side, that afternoon, but obviously we're in the hospital. So they postponed Thanksgiving, and we did it
the
right
hospital
after.
Gave us, like, a little
yeah,
Thanksgiving
dinner. Yeah, the hospital gave
us
Thanksgiving dinner. It was pretty good.
Cute. Yeah.
And so family came over and got to meet Niles for the first time, which was really cute. Some of those photos are on Instagram, I believe. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we decided to keep him the following night, which was not...
He's talking about, like, not using the hospital nursery.
Yeah.
Which we had decided we were definitely going to do. Weeks
right.
before, we were like, okay, obviously we should put him in the nursery
yeah.
and, enjoy sleep before we bring him home, and we can't sleep at all. But we didn't.
I'm not sure why. I think we decided still, but we were just like, never came up or something? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's so cute and new, and we didn't want to leave him. And then, when we got so tired that it was like, okay, we're just going to drop him off, then, like, a nurse would come to check on us or
right.
Something would happen, and so... We just never did. But anyway, so we stayed that first night where we really got into the room at, like, 3 a.m. And then we stayed one more night, Thanksgiving night. And then we were able to leave the next morning. So it was really a short stay.
It was 40 hours total.
Short delivery, short stay at the hospital, because it was, like, a night, you know, I think you usually get like two nights, but we really had like a night and a half, just based on when he was born. And then we got to go home, which was just crazy, thinking like, you guys are just gonna like, let us leave.
That's
like,
right.
we don't know what we're doing.
We didn't bring any of the things we bought.
Yeah, that's true.
We did have a car seat though.
We had the car seat.
We had the important things.
And so, yeah, we got home and it was honestly just, oh my gosh, so nice. Like, if you have the opportunity to leave the hospital early, or you're like, oh, I don't want to leave the hospital. I don't even understand that feeling. Like, I was so grateful to be home and in our own bed and just be like settling into our new life. I loved leaving the hospital. It was good.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of the opposite. I would have been like, hey, man, let's milk this thing for all we got.
Right.
But I was also the exact same way. Like, I don't know if it's just getting home and you can, I mean, I was on the little pull-out couch, which is not a real bed to sleep on.
In the hospital room.
It was actually
pretty good.
It was pretty comfortable. We had a window, which was really nice. And so, yeah, but just getting home is a completely, you know, I don't know, we stayed in our pajamas for a week.
At least
a week, you know. So it's when
putting
you do that,
real
and not
clothes.
Having people come in every, I mean, we had a lot of doctor's visits because eventually we'll talk more about this, but he took a while to get to his birth weight. So we had a couple extra visits. He got sick for a little bit as well, but just being able to just chill at home was as soon as possible was great.
Was wonderful.
And our kitchen was clean when we got back.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank
and
you,
Kelly.
Marilyn. Yes, that was amazing.
Yeah. But so anyways, I think that we answered everyone's question. People asked us some questions beforehand. I want to say that we answered them all. But if we didn't, just ask. And we will.
And Henrico Doctors called us every time for a meal, so we didn't have to call in, which was really nice. So take advantage of the food, because it's pretty good. Oh, and they have these freezers that just are full of random things, like popsicles and ice cream. And so, yeah, don't know where your closest fridges are, really, is what you should.
Yes, of course. but, yeah, oh, and then the packing list. I didn't think that the packing lists were helpful, like, at all, because I didn't use any of it.
We even asked our doctor, about it the morning of, you know, what do we need to bring? And she's like, really, you don't need to bring anything.
And that is so true.
Yeah. So save your money.
Yeah, I do wish that I had like, a nicer robe, but I just put the robe. They had a robe in our room, and I wore that, and that was fine. I literally like didn't change except for that last day. The first day I wore like a hospital gown the whole day because honestly I just didn't even want to get up. And then, you know, I showered and everything, which was great, but you didn't need anything.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, I think those are all the questions. I don't know. If there's something else, let us know.
Yes, please.
but that's it. That was the first story. Woo-hoo.